Good to be here with you this morning, and I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And as you're turning there, just a couple of announcements. There's some handouts for the conference, for these 2 days of conference, down on the table in the foyer as we enter, so feel free to avail yourself of that. There are some newsletters, little papers like this. If you don't receive this at home, mailed to you, some of you here I think do. Feel free to avail yourself of that. Take some copies of some back issues there. It's a current issue also, so if you would like, feel free to take some of that. There is one issue on preterism, which is a current trend among prophecy. Feel free to look at that if you would like. There are also 2 books for sale, one on the Lord's Supper, a little 64-page book, His Dying Request, and that's down there. You can look at that if you'd like. And there's one on dispensationalism and Reformed theology and Calvinism. If you're interested in that kind of thing, you can take a look at that. That's also down there on the table. And any questions you might have about those books, feel free to see me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about those. Well, we're in this weekend. We're looking at the subject of prophecy. The end times, prophecy, the end times, the church and the world. My aspect this weekend is to look at the church. In the sessions I have, in this session, what I'd like to do is look at a little bit at an overview, a little bit about what prophecy is, why it's important, why it's good to study prophecy, what the Lord is trying to tell us through prophecy, what the Lord tells us about himself and his character and his person. In regard to prophecy. And then in our session tomorrow, we want to look at the apostate church in the last times. And then in the evening, we want to look a little bit at the tribulation, the church, and the rapture of the church. And so some of those things we'll take a look at. But let's begin this afternoon by reading some scripture. And the first scripture we want to look at as we begin this afternoon, is in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, and beginning with verse 19. There Peter tells us about a sure word of prophecy, and he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. That more sure word is the fulfilled prophecy that has already occurred in the lifetime of the early church. And he goes on to say, which you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy is of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42. Book of Isaiah and chapter 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 9. One of the most important aspects about prophecy is what we can learn from prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, about God himself. And it is striking to me that how often the person, the character, the purposes of God are revealed in the Lord himself. There's a great purpose of prophecy, not just to tell us the future. There's more to prophecy than just to tell, we who would be eagerly interested in what's going to happen in the future. But what it tells us about the Lord himself. Here in Isaiah 42 in verse 9, he says, behold, the former things are come to pass. Those things he had already spoken of to the nation of Israel in the past had already come to pass. And now he says in verse 9, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And so this afternoon, we want to look at the nature of prophecy. Why is it important? It's interesting here, we find out that it's the Lord, in contrast in this chapter, it's the Lord in contrast to carved images and idols of stone and wood. He is the one that knows the future. He asks the question in this chapter, are these idols able to tell the future? Are they able to tell you things that will come to pass before they spring forth? And, of course, the answer is no. Prophecy tells us something about God himself. And that's the theme we want to look at this morning, this afternoon, rather, what it tells us about the Lord himself. Here it says he tells us the former things. Years ago when I grew up in Monmouth County, New Jersey, and in a little town called Asbury Park. Maybe some of you have been to Asbury Park. It's not far from Fifth Avenue Bible Chapel in Belmar. Back when I was a boy, there were rides there on the boardwalk. It was in an amusement kind of area, but there on the boardwalk was a fortune teller. Madame Marie had a little booth, and for $5 she would tell you her future, our future, and she would read your palms, and she would tell you the future. And some Christians once in a while would come, sometimes visiting preachers from Fifth Avenue Bible Chapel. They would take some believers down on the boardwalk, and they would hand out tracts. And often they would go by to Madame Marie. She probably didn't like it very much. And they would say this to her, that she would say $5 to tell your future. And they would come up to her and say, we'll give you $10 if you tell my past, if you tell me what I did yesterday and the day before yesterday. And she would never take them up on their offer, never take them up on the offer of saying the past. But you know what's so beautiful here in this passage? It says here, the Lord knows the former things and the things that will come to pass in the future before they spring forth. It tells us something about the nature and the character of God. I believe we're in the last days. I believe that the age of grace is fast coming to a close. We see certain events unfolding. The nation of Israel coming to pass in 1948, May 14th, 1948. We see some tremendous events. I think the church is a great, the professing church, the last days church, the apostate church, what we see coming to pass in our own day. I think it's a sign that we're near the end of the age of grace, this dispensation. But it tells us a lot about the Lord himself. It's interesting when we think about prophecy. That the Bible we have before us is 25% future prophecy. Those things that either when they were said were future, now they're past. Those prophecies to the nation of Israel, those prophecies about the first coming of the Lord Jesus, some of those already have come to pass. Not all of them, but many of them have come to pass. In the New Testament, Charles Ryrie says in his book on the rapture, he says there are 211 chapters in the New Testament, 350 chapters in the Bible that have to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Every book in the New Testament, except three, speak about the second coming to one degree or another of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Bible is a book of prophecy. The Old Testament is about prophecy, much of it. The New Testament, much of it is about prophecy. And this reflects on the character and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 100 times, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in the Old Testament. But over 500 times in the Bible, does it speak about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. There was a poll recently conducted a few years ago now by Christianity Today magazine. And in that, they asked unbelievers and believers some questions. Of the believers, they asked them, do they believe we're in the last days? And it's striking, 73% of believers said they believe that they were living in the last days. But they asked unbelievers this question about the last days, and they said 53% of unbelievers, those who were not, didn't call themselves Christians, said that current events seem to indicate the world is headed to a catastrophic end. And so I think we see that, unbelievers around about us see that. The Bible speaks about prophecy, but we learn a lot about the person and the character of the Lord Jesus. I want to read a quotation by Charles Ryrie before we get into thinking about prophecy and the character of God. A quotation by Charles Ryrie about the importance of prophecy. He says this, for the believer, the knowledge of prophecy provides joy in the midst of affliction, cleanses and encourages holy living, gives the proof of the reliability of Holy Scripture. It gives us facts about life after death, provides truth about the end of history. Prophecy draws our hearts out in worship, to the God who is in complete control, who will accomplish his will in history, to slight prophecy is to miss these tremendous blessings and benefits. So prophecy is very, very important. So we take our Bibles. I'm going to ask you to just turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. What does prophecy tell us about the character and the person and the attributes of God and of our Lord Jesus? It's striking to me that the Bible is so filled with promises and of prophetic statements. Those who have studied, those who are scholars and have studied the writings of the Quran, the writings of Buddha, the holy books of Hinduism, they tell us that in those books, in most of the books of world religions, in the sacred writings of world religions, there's something lacking that the Bible is full of. And that is promises to those who are followers of God and prophetic statements. And yet the Bible, 25% of the Bible is prophecy. In the Quran, in the writings of Buddha, in the sacred writings of Hinduism, there's this tremendous void and absence of anything that's prophetic and also promises, personal promises to their followers. In 1956, I was reading some while ago a book by Herbert Lockyer on promises in the Bible. In the first page or so, he tells a story in there about a man named Everett Storms. And Everett Storms decided to write down and number and count all the promises of the Bible. And prophecy and promises are two sides of the same coin. Prophecy is about those events that will come to pass to the church or the nation of Israel or in history. And promises are those things that will come to pass personally in the lives of his people, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament. They're two sides of the same thing. And so Everett Storms, he decided, it was said in his day, prior to 1956, that there were 30,000 promises in the Word of God. And he knew, and many others knew, that there were only 31,000 verses in all the Bible. And it seemed unlikely that there were 30,000 promises or prophecies in the Bible. And he decided to count them. So he and a Christian, two Christian students of his, they began to count in 1956 the promises. It took them a year and a half. And they discovered there were 8,810 promises in the Bible. Satan makes 9 promises. I'm not sure how many he keeps, but he only made 9 promises. Man to other men, around 200 and some promises. Men to God, only a handful of promises. And all the rest of the prophecies, 8,000 plus, are the promises that God makes to us. It says something about the nature and the character of God. What does it tell us? What does God want to tell us about that? Why does he give prophecy? Why do we have prophetic writing? It's a scripture in the Old Testament, Psalm 119 and verse 49. It says something like this. David says, "Remember thy word unto thy servant, which has given me hope." I want to suggest that God gives prophecy and promises to give us hope, to tell us something about the nature and the character of God, that we can trust God. The God that we worship, the God that we believe in, the God that we follow, is a God who gives us hope, hope in affliction, hope in difficult times. It says something about the nature and character of God, and that we can trust God with all of our lives and all of our energies and all of our directions and all of our ambitions. We can trust God. And I think there's 3 major things that prophecy tells us about the nature and the character and the attributes of God. Number one, it tells us about the sovereignty of God. Prophecy is one of the great vehicles that unfolds the beauty and the greatness and the grandeur of the sovereignty and the power and the providence of God. Here in this chapter, in Genesis chapter 12, somehow I wound up in Exodus chapter 12. Here we have a prophecy and a promise given to Abraham that if he would leave the land that he lived, the Ur of the Chaldees, that God would provide him a land, give him a land, leave his father's house. And there's 6 great promises. There's personal promises. There's national promises. There's universal promises. But notice some of the promises he says. He says, "I will make of thee a great nation." He says, I will make thy name great. Abraham is the father of three world religions. He's the father of Islam. He's the father of Judaism. He's the father of Christianity. If you go on the internet and just type in the word Abraham, you'll have more sites and more articles than you could ever think of. He says, I will make your name, thy name great. He says also, and in thee shall all the nations, all the families of the world or the earth be blessed. Now, how could that come to pass except that a sovereign God, an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God, a God who is sovereign, is able to bring that to pass? Only a sovereign God could make of this one individual, a powerful individual, a wealthy individual, but make of him a great nation. Only a sovereign God could make of Abraham, make of him that in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And in that, from his line, would come the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Galatians tells us, quoting this prophecy, in the Lord Jesus Christ, he would bring blessing to all the earth.